Hi, everybody. We are now beginning, or continuing rather, with the Rays and Initiations webinar commentaries. We're in the second part of the book, The Rays and the Initiations. We're on program number 32. We've just been discussing the three levels on which the three points of mental focus which bring through higher levels of the cosmic etheric plane. The lower concrete mind is the reflection of Atma, or spiritual will. The individualized mind, the mind that is on the higher mental plane and within the egoic lotus, is the reflection in mental substance of the monad. And the higher abstract mind, which transmits buddhi, is the reflection of the divine nature on the logoic plane, and it brings through eventually these buddhic qualities, intuitive love, understanding, and inclusiveness that involves the head center. And DK talks about other arrangements here which are also possible, and says of humanity that it's the major realization to be grasped at the present point in human evolution is the need to relate consciously and effectively the spiritual triad, the soul on its own plane, and the personality in its threefold nature. A bridging task is given to us. This is what we have to undertake. And it's not just the connection of soul, mind, brain, which is necessary and is some of the earlier work, but the spiritual triad must also be included, and eventually the monad. And the alignment exercise called the Acme of Alignment, found in Discipleship in the New Age Volume 2, takes us all the way from the base of the spine to the monadic nature, and I think can be practiced with profit. Okay, this is done through the creative work of the personality, the magnetic power of the spiritual triad, which really, in a way, invokes, sends forth a message of invocation to the lower nature and evokes it as a result, and also the conscious activity of the soul, which seeks to supervise this connection. The solar angel stepped into the picture because there was this particular gap, and the solar angel is responsible for maintaining a middle position for a long period of time until the period of bridging the gap can be reached, which now it is. Okay. At least in the case of the more developed people of the world and those who are becoming aware of spiritual things. So now we continue. We're on page 466. You can see, therefore, why so much emphasis is laid by esotericists upon fusion, unity, or blending, to bring together the discontinuities which man experiences in his energy system, at least from the perspective of consciousness, even if there, from the life perspective, there is no discontinuity. Even when this is intelligently realized, can the disciple, only when this is intelligently realized, can the disciple begin to weave the threads into a bridge of light, which eventually becomes the lighted way across which he can pass into the higher worlds of being. The lighted way across which he can pass into the higher worlds of being. And those are on the cosmic ethers. And when we really speak of being, it relates us to the monad and to the divine plane beyond the logoic plane. And thus he liberates himself from the three worlds. It is in this world cycle preeminently a question of fusion and expressing in full waking consciousness, three major states of consciousness. And notice that the word consciousness is used even in connection with Shambhala. Sometimes we hear the term monadic awareness used, and sometimes we are told we have to transcend consciousness. But this is the type of consciousness to be transcended is that in which there is no true identification of the subject with the object. Once the contemplative stage has been reached and the meditator knows that he is the object, he is the object which he is contemplating, then a new type of consciousness supervenes, and one that is sustained, as far as I can understand, for the duration of the progress in our universe, the realization of the One. So there are three major states of consciousness. He liberates himself from the three worlds. That is our objective, so that we can better serve within the three worlds. And only in a liberated condition can we really do that. So in this world cycle, and I presume he may mean, does he mean a round? Or is it a larger cycle of which he is speaking? It's preeminently a question of fusion and expressing in full waking consciousness. And that means not just a realization when liberated from the body in the hours of sleep, let us say, but right within the brain, three major states of consciousness, full waking consciousness, i.e., within the brain consciousness. So we have to learn to express and to appreciate and to realize the Shambhala consciousness, awareness of the unity of life and the purpose of life, awareness of the unity and purpose of life. So this is isolated unity. And the purpose, the planetary logoic purpose, as understood on the monadic plane. Recognition and cooperation with the plan, which is the hierarchy's response to purpose, will, direction, and oneness. These are such suitable terms for monadic consciousness, which is essentially Shambhalic consciousness. We're told that when the monad makes its impact at the third initiation and is consciously realized, that in a sense Shambhala is consummated in the initiate. Of course, it is a lesser type of consummation, not the highest type, but at least there is the awareness of something of the Shambhalic consciousness. And this is the influence of the triad, and let us say, as it mediates, serves as an agent for the monad. Because the Shambhala consciousness, well, we could say that the Shambhala is found on all the levels of the cosmic ethers, but the higher aspects of Shambhala, especially upon the sixth plane from below and upon the seventh. And Sanat Kumara's focus particularly upon the seventh plane, as is the focus of the Christ. So we just have to contemplate those words. They're so important. Will, direction, and oneness. Purpose always has an element of direction in it. It is a movement towards a particular relationship, I might say. Let's just say that a purpose is a directed movement towards a particular, if I can only spell, particular archetypal relationship. Oneness, regardless of apparent distinction, the fundamental unity of all things is understood. The distinction, the differences, apparent differences caused by form are negated, and the identical root of all apparently differentiated form is contacted and identified with. will the great power that sees to the descent of the archetype. I think I'll put that down as one of the definitions of will. Will the great, what can we call it? Power or energy which sees to the descent of the archetype and its embodiment in the lower three worlds. Of course, it is more than that. It's a sustaining factor as well. So that which is moving everything forward is the shambolic consciousness. It's a driving, the will is the driving power, and it's directed by this type of consciousness. And the consciousness is rooted in the realization of oneness. Now, if we simply contact the spiritual triad at first, I do not think that we will necessarily appreciate this full oneness. I think that that is finally a monadic realization. Okay, so here we have the man must realize he's liberated from the three worlds. It's preeminently a question of fusion and of expressing in full waking consciousness three major states of consciousness. Now, obviously, the shambolic consciousness is going to be the last of these to be expressed, but he's listing them perhaps in order of their importance, not in order to the order of the manner in which we access them. The hierarchical consciousness, so it's awareness of our higher self. You know, sometimes if we say the self, we really should mean the monad, but for most of us, the sense of self, though limited, is the sense of being the soul on the higher mental plane. Recognition and cooperation with divinity, and divinity is really found, on the higher two subplanes of the cosmic physical plane, spirituality below that point. And we are dealing here with love, all these secondary terms, attraction and relation. I suppose there are some who manage to achieve will, direction, and oneness before this is fully realized within them, love, attraction, and relation. But as it is said by the Christ, no man cometh to the Father except through me. So certainly the best way of reaching the Father aspect is through the love aspect, and there are dangers when the love aspect is not sufficiently developed, and this is the influence of the soul, which can be expressed in full, must be expressed in full waking consciousness. And then we have the human consciousness, which I suppose we can express in full waking consciousness without too much difficulty. Awareness of the soul within the form, we might say this is the observer with whom one can identify. I-D-F, yes, identify. Recognition and cooperation with the soul, and this is the lot of every aspirant who is attempting to come in touch with his higher self. And this is more correlated with the third ray aspect, intelligence, action, and expression. The third ray is a manifesting ray, and it moves outward into objectification of the self. The influence of the consecrated personality. So devotion must be strong, dedication strong, definite decision within the personality to direct its efforts toward the soul which is recognized and to cooperate with what it understands of soul quality and soul direction. Some aspect of the divine plan will be realized within the personality as it cooperates with the soul, but obviously a still fuller aspect of the divine plan will come through into recognition as one moves into the hierarchical consciousness, and especially as one can come into relation with the shambolic consciousness, where the true divine plan appears. You know, the true divine. Whoop, no, that's not it. Let's see if this is it. Divine plan. Yes, will be made manifest to the consciousness through the shambolic consciousness. Okay, well, this is what the Antikarana leads to. Certainly the realization of two higher states of consciousness, which are not commonly found within the human appreciation of consciousness at this time, and then a consecrated personality consciousness as well. Not just the lower type of consciousness. We can see here that we're simply not talking about the lower type of consciousness. The man who finally builds the Antikarana across the mental plane connects or relates these three divine aspects. That's so much our task, the fusion with the higher aspects of our energy system that we know at least theoretically exist and have the experience of at certain times. We are impressed by the higher energies at certain times. So that progressively, at each initiation, they are more closely fused into one divine expression in full and radiant manifestation. And all of us are involved in this process of fusion, and we have accomplished it to varying degrees depending upon what we have put into it, the work we put into it, and our particular initiatory status at the time, at the moment. So expanding higher realization is available to us through the proper building of the Antikarana. And we become more than human in our consciousness. We become hierarchical in our consciousness. We become eventually, it'll be a long time, but shambolic in our consciousness. We really have to be a Chohan of the sixth degree to experience some full measure of shambolic consciousness, and even then it will deepen and intensify as one moves still higher in initiatory rank. So putting it in other words, the disciple treads the path of return to the origin that sent him forth into involvement with the dense physical body of the planetary and solar logos, especially the dense physical body of the planetary logos, the lower 18 subplanes. He treads the path of return, builds the Antikarana as the way of still higher type of escape, because part of the path of return will be contact with the soul, but the Antikarana brings contact with his true divine nature, crosses the lighted way, the way of intensifying light, we might say, the way of intensifying light, and achieves the freedom of the path of light, which leads forward upon the way of higher evolution. It all seems so easy when looked at from the perspective of one who has achieved these things. But for us, it is a struggle in time and over quite a number of lives, really, on the path of return. Although from the time that the second initiation is taken, progress can be rapid, because he tells us the second, third, and fourth initiations can and probably will be taken in the same life or in the next life. And it is around the period when the second initiation is in sight that the Antikarana can be built with expectation of success. It's a Mercury task. The sign Scorpio rules the second initiation. The planet Mercury is the hierarchical ruler of Scorpio, and Mercury is definitely involved in the building of this bridge of divine light. Okay, well, this is an area of the book which gives us the technical details on the meaning of the Antikorana, and whether we live our lives in a darkened room from the perspective of consciousness, or whether we are released into the higher and lighter phases of experience and understanding via the Antikorana, so much depends on how well we build and utilize that bridge. It's not an easy thing. I remember when I was in the Arcane School and I first ran into this instruction, and I thought it was extremely abstruse. But I was determined to get something out of it, and I still am determined to master still more of this great science of impression via the Antikorana. We do seem to have a choice as to whether we will live in a lower state of consciousness, which is quite habitual for the personality, or whether we will rise to some higher possibility of appreciating the true nature of the higher planes. It's hard to break our habit nature, isn't it? And that rotary motion of our habit nature associated with the third ray and with the moon and with the Ahamkara principle can keep us in prison in terms of consciousness for a long time. One of the points which it is essential that students should grasp is the deeply esoteric fact that this Antikorana is built through the medium of a conscious effort within consciousness itself. This is so important. And not just by attempting to be good or to express goodwill or to demonstrate the qualities of unselfishness and high aspiration, which have more to do with contacting the soul on the higher mental plane. So, you know, if we would contemplate this, the Antikorana is built through the medium of a conscious effort within consciousness itself. We are dealing with the factor of awareness, and we are working to push the boundaries of consciousness toward ever wider horizons. So it's a very subtle process, and basically what he's saying, it's not just a personality effort applied to raising the quality of the personality. It's not just that. We have to do all those things, and we tend to do them as we come in to closer contact with the soul. So an effort within consciousness itself, and I think as we meditate we can tell whether we are touching something that we have not touched before. We receive impressions, and while we are working in the subtle manner, we note whether our consciousness is expanding or whether we are somehow still limited to the same old habitual level. Something new has to come in, and we remain very alert concerning the changes which are occurring in our consciousness during this process. Many esotericists seem to regard the treading of the path as the conscious effort to overcome the lower nature and to express life in terms of right thinking, right living and thinking, love and intelligent understanding. And DK says, yes, of course, it is all that. But it is something far more. So he's dealing with something quite subtle, and let's just say that the inexperienced aspirants or the probationary disciples who are struggling with the tendencies of their own lower nature may not appreciate this something more, this something more subtle. One has to be, I think, in a state already of deep meditation and to know how to meditate deeply in order really for the Antikarana work to proceed. Good character and a good spiritual aspiration are basic essentials. Okay, and this we really have to incorporate into our thinking, because we cannot build the castle of consciousness upon a shaky foundation of bad character. So there are things to be taken care of, absolutely, and who is to say that he has taken care of all of them, but we understand these are fundamental requirements, but, okay, these are taken for granted by the master who has a disciple under training. So if we are going to be trained in this higher type of sensitive, almost telepathic work, you know, coming from the spiritual triad where we have spiritual telepathy, then it must be taken for granted that we are already taking ourselves in hand in terms of this important but lower enterprise of mastering the lower nature. Their foundation and their recognition and development are the objectives upon the path of probation. Sometimes DK tells us, well, look, are you really sure you're a disciple, or perhaps you are actually treading the path of probation? How do you know? I mean, have you mastered enough of your lower nature truly to be considered a disciple, and can you steadily meditate in such a way that you actually can touch these subtle forces, or are you still in this wrestling match with the lunar nature and with the ahamkara and with all the things that have characterized your personality for so many years? So a degree of freedom has to already be achieved by those who really hope successfully to build the Antikarana. But to build the Antikarana is to relate the three divine aspects. It's a great bridging work, isn't it? You know, it's I'm remembering a great bridging work. Mary Bailey was working on this section in the Arcane School. The new section is called Bridge to the Future, and it really did emphasize the Antikarana work and the rules for group work in the New Age from Rays and the Initiations. The ability to express those rules in group form depended upon the existence of the individual Antikarana and even more the group Antikarana. So all of this that we're reading about here now really is the future for us, and will be even more capable of expression in future future incarnations. Okay. So to build the Antikarana is to relate the three divine aspects. This involves intense mental activity. It necessitates the power to imagine and to visualize, plus a dramatic attempt to build the lighted way in mental substance. DK, who is not dramatic in the personal sense, has to be attended to very carefully when he uses such words as dramatic. Intense mental activity at a sustained point of tension, the power to imagine and to have the imagination guided by the Buddhic faculty and not by lower promptings, plus a dramatic and, you know, possibly conflicted attempt. A dramatic attempt, I mean, you know, it has to be outstanding in some way. It has to be a great contrast with the usual. So a great contrast with the usual attitudes and approaches, and hence dramatic. to build the lighted way in mental substance. This mental substance is, as we have seen, of three qualities or natures, involving the concrete mind, the sun of mind, and the abstract mind, and the bridge of light, living light, because the life aspect is involved, is a composite creation. It's living light, so the bridge is influenced by the life aspect of the spiritual triad and the monad. So it's a composite creation involving qualities which relate to the three factors we have been discussing, the concrete mind, the sun of mind absorbed into the point of tension on the fourth subplane of the mental plane, and also the substance of the triad. So let's see. The mental substance is, as we have seen, of three qualities or natures, and the bridge of living light. I think I somehow it's quite dramatic, that word living. And it may make a deeper impression upon us if we highlight it. Yeah. And I'm going to just highlight it in this way. This bridge of living light is a composite creation having in it force, focused and projected from the fused and blended forces of the personality, which are drawn upward. Okay. Upward to the point of tension on the fourth level of the concrete mind. Energy drawn from the egoic body by a conscious effort, and this fortifies the point of tension on the lower mental plane. And energy abstracted from the spiritual triad, and I would say once it has been contacted, it is drawn in, abstracted from, it doesn't say extracted from, the word is interesting, abstracted. Once it has been contacted and a downflow occurs, helping with the process of creating a sufficient point of tension so that projection can be successful. You know, really, Master DK is helping us build the bridge to our freedom, the bridge of escape from the trammels of formal objectivity. We live in a world of many sensory objects and feeling and emotional states and concrete thoughts, and from this kind of prison, which indeed must be served, but from this kind of prison, we are being allowed to escape and to gain a higher perspective and a higher point of leverage. So we can be more effective in making the rearrangements in the lower worlds which must be made according to the divine plan. Okay. So anyway, it's a composite creation, and that, you know, we've been told it's composed of the creative thread, the consciousness thread, and the life thread, and we've been told that it's composed of the substance of three aspects of the mental plane, and here that's what we're shown. The energy abstracted from the spiritual triad does involve the monastic permanent atom. It's a bridge of living light on the mental plane, and so involves the mental aspect of the spiritual triad. A bridge of living light at first on the mental plane, and so involving the mental aspect of the spiritual triad. Later, of course, that bridge must extend into the Buddhic realm and into the atmic realm and eventually touch the monad. And why should it not also at some point perhaps touch the divine plane? Although we can wonder, you know, there are many antikaranas, and they just continue to extend all the way to the highest possible level one day when the universe is all in all. But one can wonder, when one thinks of Mercury and the Sun, and Mercury and the Sun are one, whether the antikaran as we now discuss it is not retracted into the solar blaze of mastership at the fifth initiation. And this fifth initiation, from that point on, there will be contact, of course, with the sixth plane and the seventh plane counting from below, but maybe it's a new type of outreaching. Certainly it's not the antikaran that we are building at the present time, but it could be considered, in a way, an extension of that antikaran. Okay, then, going on. It is, let's see, I think we should go a little farther back so we get the sentence. It is a composite creation, and it has in it the following types of force. I think that's what we need to understand. Following types of force and energy. Notice that he uses the word force when related to the personality. This is the conventional use of it. And energy when related to the egoic body and to the spiritual triad. It is essentially, however, an activity of the integrated and directed personality. Now, dedicated personality. And remember that for the second initiation, we have three interesting words which emerge and describe the process. Dedication is the first, leading to glamour, leading to a freedom from glamour, and then devotion. So as I said, around the period of the second initiation, or once the second initiation is somewhat in sight, even though it may take some lives to reach it, this type of work can be done. And how integrated is this personality? Well, at least it is integrated in the lower sense, in that it is an effective, intelligent personality which is slowly being infused with that which is spiritual, and so has a spiritual orientation. Do evil people, build the antikaranas? Well, they do have a type of connection, but they're not going to want to really connect with the spiritual triad. Their connection is with certain devic lives, we've been told, and they have an entirely different path, and it is the rejection of the triads, and the triads are those angelic lives which substand the states of consciousness and vehicles of the spiritual triad. It's the rejection of those lives, the final rejection of those lives, which lands the man in the eighth sphere. So the those of evil intent are not going to want to build the antikarana, which leads to the monad through the triad, through buddhi, and so forth. They are going to reject those lives. Now, how the inverted shambolic force reaches them, that is an interesting question for deeper consideration. Okay, so it's essentially, however, an activity of the integrated and dedicated personality, even though that personality is evoked by the magnetism of the spiritual triad. So even though that personality is evoked by the magnetism of the spiritual triad, because a type of invocation goes forth from the higher aspects of our nature which evokes our response. Esotericists must not take the position that all they have to do is negatively await negatively some activity by the soul, which will automatically take place after a certain measure of soul contact has been achieved. This would be the so-called passive, sitting for development, as it has been called, and that consequently and in time, this activity will evoke response both from the personality and the triad. In other words, this is not the case. We have to act strenuously and cannot expect that the solar angel or our own, so to speak, higher self on the higher mental plane will do the work for us, identified as the personality. The work of building of the Antikrana is primarily an activity of the personality aided by the soul. Okay. Somehow this is a very important idea and places the responsibility where it belongs, and that is on us. And, you know, it may take more than one lifetime to really build the Antikrana. I'm thinking it definitely will. You know, people who begin building at a certain point cannot fulfill the highest aspects of that building in simply one lifetime. It leads all the way eventually to the monad. So the work of building the Antikrana is primarily an activity of the personality aided by the soul, and we have to say by the angel of the presence, the incorporated solar angel, the embodied solar angel. Whoop. I'm going to erase things there if I'm not careful. Anyway, by the angel of the presence or the embodied solar angel, this in time evokes a reaction from the triad, but elsewhere he's told us that already the triad has begun to attempt to evoke the soul-infused personality. Anyway, DK's point here is there's far too much inertia demonstrated by aspirants at this time. You kind of, maybe he's thinking back to the days when he was an aspirant under different conditions and perhaps the strenuous striving forward which was characteristic of those types of aspirants. He is actually summoning us to a more assertive, a more active approach and saying, look, it's on you what you do here. You can work with your soul to achieve soul infusion, but then as a soul-infused personality, you really have to follow the methods which are given for building this bridge of living light. One might also look at this matter from another angle. The personality is beginning to transmute knowledge into wisdom. Okay, it is a Venusian activity. Oops, so many buttons to press. A Venusian activity. And when this takes place, in other words, wisdom is that which is always so. Knowledge are the particular relations which, when enough of them are understood, leads to the generalities contained in wisdom. One sees the trends and how it does work in the many particular instances. So the personality is beginning to transmute knowledge into wisdom, and when this takes place, the focus of the personality life is then upon the mental plane, and let's just say, as it must be for this building process, because the transmutation process, with its stages of understanding, analysis, recognition, and application, is fundamentally a mental process. Well, again, the planet of transmutation, Venus again. And it is, of course, with its fifth-ray soul, a highly mental planet. But the transmutation process of elevating lower vibrations into higher requires the stages of understanding the process, analyzing the process, recognition of higher possibilities and of their elevation over the lower habitual states, and application of the new energies touched, we say, in order to stabilize them. Application always stabilizes. If we leave something strictly as a mental concept or a mental recognition, it doesn't work itself into the mechanism and become a reliable method of approach to our physical plane life. So the transmutation process, which is stages of understanding, analysis, recognition, and application, is fundamentally a mental process. We're not, in other words, we may have the aspiration to transmute. We are not feeling our way into a successful transmutation process. We have to have understanding and application. We have to know what we are doing, to know what we are doing when we attempt to transmute. Now, to a degree, aspiration, to a degree, aspiration is transmutative. It does elevate energy, but is not enough in and of itself. Okay, so the personality is beginning to transmute knowledge into wisdom. So long we're bound in concretion and we do not see the patterns of Venusian activity, and let's just say in the state of wisdom, the patterns of interaction are seen for what they are, and from a higher perspective. A wise person has seen many things in which he has gained knowledge, and the collection of all of those instances of gained knowledge lead to an appreciation of the pattern which the items understood habitually take. And so one is able to advise and guide others according to the appreciation of those life patterns. When one is simply immersed in the acquisition of knowledge about them, one does not have the distance, the perspective, to understand the general trends and to give sound advice. The personality is also beginning to comprehend the significance of love and to interpret it in terms of group well-being. Now, this is all, you know, let's just say, all a preamble to successful bridge building. And not in terms, to interpret love, not in terms of the personal self, of desire, or even aspiration. So some degree of group consciousness is required for the successful building of the Antikarana. True love is rightly understood only by the mental type who is spiritually oriented. Now that's going to be a great statement to which I'm sure many will take exception, but DK again is speaking in the language of Venus, the mental type who is spiritually oriented. This is another Venusian statement, or statement relating to this planet. The personality is also arriving at the realization that there is, in reality, no such thing as sacrifice or real loss. Sacrifice is usually only the thwarted desire of the lower nature, willingly endured by the aspirant. That's a marvelous kind of definition there. Sacrifice is usually, as is usually conceived, we will be deprived of the fulfillment of our desires. So we usually think, and people do really react against this word. I've taught a lot of classes, you know, and so often we get to the definition of sacrifice, and there are always some in the group who said, well, they're, you know, it's not real, and we have to think of it as making sacred. All that is true, of course. It's all true. But the reason they're doing that is because they don't want to undergo the relinquishment that is involved, you know. They don't want to have to display the stiff upper lip and go through it. Sacrifice is usually only the thwarted desire of the lower nature, willingly endured by the aspirant, but in this phase, a misinterpretation and a limitation. So in other words, it's the usual connotations of sacrifice that are avoided. And then, of course, one goes through the phase where they are willingly endured, but sacrifice is really something different, and he goes into it. It's really a complete conformity to the will of God, because the spiritual will of man and the divine will, as he recognizes it in the plan, is his will. What a great definition of the term sacrifice. It's really complete conformity to the will of God. So we have to say that Christ in the Garden of Gethsemane made a very sacrificial gesture when he said, not my will, but thine be done. It's something that we're all going to have to go through, and we go through it incrementally with lesser recognitions along the way until the opportunity comes for us at the higher initiations to see and understand what the will of God really is and to make our acquiescence to that will. Sacrifice is really complete conformity to the will of God, because the spiritual will of man, remember, it's part of the atmic plane and eventually reaches the sacrifice petals, because the spiritual will of the man, the will of God, because the spiritual will of the man and the divine will, coming from the monadic levels and logoic levels, as he recognizes it in the plan, is his will. So what we really have here is identification with the higher will, and all of us must strive to do that. There are many, many instances in our everyday life when we can ask, what is the higher will in this particular circumstance? Not necessarily the very highest will of God, but, you know, the will for the best. What is that higher will in this moment? Not my personal selfish will, which I'm likely to want to exert to preserve my personality prerogatives, but a still higher will. So there is a growing identification in purpose. Now, it's an interesting preposition. Interesting. Why not with purpose? So somehow we are entering into the archetype. Somehow we are entering into the archetype which purpose is. Therefore, self-will, desire, and those intelligent activities which are duly motivated are seen and recognized as only the lower expression of the three divine aspects, and the effort is to express these in terms of the soul, and not as hitherto in terms of the dedicated and rightly oriented personality. I think we will have to, this is quite a statement, and we're going to have to review this statement. Okay. Which we will do. So let's look at this. Self-will, desire, and those intelligent activities which are duly motivated, and that's properly motivated, are seen and recognized as only the lower expressions of the three divine aspects. So we've made that link in our mind, and we understand that the aspects of will, desire, and intelligence with which we are familiar are really reflections of the higher nature. We talked about the way the logoic plane works out through the monastic permanent atom, or through the abstract mind, the monadic plane through the sun of mind, or the egoic lotus of the causal body, and the atmic plane through the concrete mind. So in what is familiar to us, there are always the impressions coming from the higher stages, and this is so especially for the individual who is awakening to these higher possibilities. Therefore, self-will, desire, and those intelligent activities which are duly motivated are seen and recognized as only the lower expression of the three divine aspects, and the effort to express these in terms of soul and not, as hitherto, in terms of the dedicated and the rightly oriented personality. It's as if the soul becomes the base of expression. And the guiding, the direction is not coming from the lower aspects themselves. They are simply utilized. So this becomes possible in its true sense only when the focus of the life is in the mental vehicle, and the head as well as the heart is becoming active. Now, D.K. is such a one to emphasize this union of head and heart, which is accomplished particularly under the planets Venus and Jupiter. So accomplished, yes. So this is occultism, actually, you know, and where the occultist works through the head center. And this is related to the will, and the mystic more, the psychic, the mystic more through the heart center. Eventually, these two have to be completely united, and the heart within the head and this the heart center between the shoulder blades have to be in resonance with each other. In this process, the stages of character building are seen as essential and effective, and are willingly and consciously undertaken as a sincere aspirant would do. But when these foundations of good character and intelligent activity are firmly established, and then, you know, of course, we can question ourselves about the establishment in our own lives of these foundations of good character, something still higher and more subtle must be erected on the substructure. This is so important that I tried to emphasize this a little earlier. Something more subtle must be erected on the substructure. So we have to realize the process of Antikarana building is a subtle affair. And in the lack of appreciation of its subtlety comes failure to really build. So we have to be used to moving within the realm of consciousness and to experiment within the realm of consciousness. And then perhaps something of this inner organ which conveys the energy of the higher planes will actually take shape, and we will actually benefit from these inner contacts, and they will eventually reach not only our mind, but our personality, brain, consciousness, and our life will change and be directed by these higher energies. So there's this paragraph is an important one. It's a long one. When this process is being undertaken, so this is about the process, the stage of the personality when the process is being undertaken. Transmuting knowledge into wisdom, it's happening. There's focus upon the mental plane. The love aspect is coming in, and the person is thinking in terms of the group well-being. Because the person is now a mental type, true love in the Venusian sense can be understood. A higher understanding of sacrifice is taking place. There is, to the extent possible for such an individual, conformity to the spiritual will, not complete conformity, it can't be yet, but to a significantly increased extent, conformity to the spiritual will, identification with the plan, recognizing the great will and purpose in the plan, and identifying with that will, and going beyond the self-will of the personality. The head and the heart are blending. These are all the requirements, and then we can assess for ourselves the degree to which we stand at that stage and are ready to build the Antikarana. Oh, it's so deep, you know, so every one of us has to sort of live with these indications and work out the process within our self and note the subtle changes which occur. All right, so this will be the end then of Raised and Initiations webinar commentary, program 32. We've, as usual, done about two pages, pages 466 to 468. 469 is about to begin. And our next work will be the beginning of Raised and Initiations webinar commentary, program 33, pages 468 to however far we get. And we will move on with this very important work, somehow trying slowly to digest it and to practice it, so that it becomes a real process for us and not just a mental construct. Okay, we'll see you soon, and we will move on together. Bye-bye.